Before we begin our message this morning, I've got a few questions for you. I'm just kind of curious, what bothers you? What really irritates you? Or maybe another way to put it is, what kind of things do you complain about? You know, is it the traffic jam that you hit when you're in a hurry to get someplace? Or maybe is it the relentless yard work that you have to do to keep your place looking nice? Or is it those dreaded piles of laundry? I mean, it seems like you finish one and two more pop up. Or is it when you have to pay the tax man? What things bother you? What things irritate you? What things do you complain about? Well, if you've got some good answers to those questions, this psalm may be for you today. Today we continue our sermon series, Selah, Summer in the Psalms. We've been learning that this book is a collection of 150 poems and songs and prayers that express a wide variety of emotions. And God created us with the ability to experience these emotions, and the Psalms help us acknowledge the reality of them. The Psalms also help us confront our emotions so that they become a pathway of intimacy with God. Today we're going to take a look at Psalm 136. I'd like to encourage you to open your Bibles there. And if you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 506. We're going to read the whole passage here, and I encourage you to do this like a responsive reading. There's going to be a beginning to each verse and an ending to each verse, and that ending is, "His faithful love endures forever." I encourage you to participate with this as a responsive reading. Let's begin in verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who alone does mighty miracles. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavens so skillfully. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who placed the earth among the waters. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who made the heavenly lights. His faithful love endures forever. The sun to rule the day. His faithful love endures forever. And the moon and the stars to rule the night. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who killed the firstborn of Egypt. His faithful love endures forever. He brought Israel out of Egypt. His faithful love endures forever. He acted with a strong hand and a powerful arm. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who parted the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. He led Israel safely through. His faithful love endures forever. But he hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who led his people through the wilderness. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to him who struck down mighty kings. His faithful love endures forever. He killed powerful kings. His faithful love endures forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites. His faithful love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan. His faithful love endures forever. God gave the land of these kings as an inheritance. His faithful love endures forever. A special possession to his servant Israel. His faithful love endures forever. He remembered us in our weakness. His faithful love endures forever. He saved us from our enemies. His faithful love endures forever. He gives food to every living thing. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His faithful love endures forever. Wow, did you get the point here? This psalm is all about giving thanks to God. In verses 1 to 3, we're to give thanks for who he is. In verses 4 to 9, we're to give thanks for all he has created. In verses 10 to 16, we're to give thanks for his mighty power that saves us. And in verses 17 to 22, we're to give thanks for his plans and provisions for us. And in the final verses, 23 to 26, we're to give thanks for his mercy to us. I don't know if you realize it, but this giving thanks is not just relegated to Psalm 136. We see it in many other psalms. In Psalm 92:1, it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High." In Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name." Psalm 105, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done." In Psalm 106:1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Psalm 107, verse 1, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Sound familiar? Psalm 118, this psalm starts in verse 1 and ends in verse 29 with this same line. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." And again, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." Psalm 122, verse 4. "All the people of Israel, the Lord's people, make their pilgrimage here. They come to give thanks to the name of the Lord as the law requires." And in Psalm 138:2, "I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I will give thanks to your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, because your promises are backed by all the honor of your name." In Psalm 50, verse 23, the psalmist writes, "Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me." That's how God looks at it. When we give him thanks, it's a sacrifice that honors him. Now you might remember, according to the Old Testament law, there were some sacrifices that were mandatory. The sin offering was made to atone for sin, whether it was intentional or unintentional. The person bringing a sin offering was to bring a young bull or a male goat or a female goat or a dove or 1/10 ephah of flour. The trespass offering was actually a ram that was given as atonement for unintentional sins that required reimbursement to an offended party. So if something you did caused someone else a loss, that was what the trespass offering was about. In addition to the mandatory sacrifices, there were also some voluntary sacrifices. The burnt offering was an animal sacrifice to express devotion to God. But check this out. The grain offering was a sacrifice of thanksgiving for God's provision. And the peace offering was a sacrifice of thanksgiving and fellowship, which was followed by a shared meal. Did you catch this? The grain offering and peace offering are a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And that's what God is saying. When we give thanks to Him, it's a sacrifice that truly honors His name. So remember this. Giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors God for who He is and what He has done. Now there is a tribe of people in West Africa called the Maasai tribe, and they have an unusual way of saying thank you. They bow down and put their foreheads on the ground, and they say, "My head is in the dirt." You see, the Maasai people understand that giving thanks at its core is an act of humility. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 19, Paul tells us these things. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, quite often I do have people that come to me and say, "If I only knew God's will for my life," and they're looking for an answer to a specific decision that they're facing. And, you know, God gives us a wide variety to make decisions in our lives. But when it comes to God's will, it's right here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Did you see it? Be joyful, be prayerful, and be thankful in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. And then he says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit, or don't put out the Spirit's fire. How do we do that? By being joyless and prayerless and thankless. See, it's all an attitude of the heart. So here's an interesting question. Why do we have to learn to be thankful? Did you ever think about that? Does God require this because He needs our praises and thanks? Of course not. This command is repeated again and again throughout the Bible because we need it. We need to be reminded of the many blessings that God has given us and not take anything for granted. The desires of sinful human nature can be summed up in one word: selfishness. And when your life is devoted to pleasing yourself, you begin to develop this sense of expectation and entitlement. And when we don't get what we want, when we want, the way we want it, we tend to grumble and complain, don't we? You know, maybe instead of complaining about the traffic jam that I'm caught in, maybe I need to find a way to give thanks, like, "Lord, thank you that I have a car." You see what I mean? Or maybe if we're aggravated about the chores around the house, like taking care of the lawn, maybe you need to say, "Lord, thank you that I have a home. Thank you that I have a place to live. Thank you that I have a place to take care of." Or maybe when that laundry piles up and never seems to end, maybe we need to say something like this: "Lord, thank you that I have a family." Or maybe when we get frustrated because we have to pay the taxes, maybe we need to say, "Lord, thank you that I have a job." Do you see the difference in attitude here? The grumbling and complaining can lead to a downward spiral, but we have to learn to give thanks for the good things in our lives. We need to give thanks to the Lord for who He is, and we need to give thanks to Him for all He has done. You see, the entire point of Psalm 136 is to help people remember that He is the living God, who is active in the lives of His people. The verses of this psalm help us give thanks to the Lord and help us remember that His faithful love endures forever. And in singing this psalm, the people of God can remember that their story is really His story. Do you see the play on that word? We call it history to recall what's happened in the past, but if you put an S and a space in that word, it becomes His story. And I know there are so many that are here today who have amazing stories of the good things that God has done in their lives. And whenever we recount these stories with one another, we are reminded, as we were in Psalm 136, that His faithful love endures forever. I can't share a message like this without telling you one of the scriptures I am most thankful for in the book of Romans. It comes in chapter 8, towards the end, and the Apostle Paul gives us some really good things to be thankful for. If you'd like to follow along in your chair Bible, it's on page 909, but I'll be reading from Romans 8, starting in verse 31 and going through 39. Look what Paul says after he's done some amazing teaching. He says this: "What shall we say about such wonderful things? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for His own? No one, for God Himself has given us right standing with Himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that He no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry, or destitute or in danger, or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, 'For your sake we are being killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep.' No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." And all God's people said, Amen. That's why we can give thanks. And so my challenge for you this week is a Psalm 136 challenge. Start every day this week by giving thanks to God. If you start your day in that place, the rest of it will go a lot better. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Psalm 136. And we thank You for this call to worship You by giving thanks, by bringing a sacrifice of thanksgiving before Your throne. Lord, when we do that, it puts things in perspective. When we acknowledge who You are and that we are going to worship You and bring this sacrifice of thanksgiving, it changes the way we see the things that are going on in our lives. So help us this week, each day, to take special time to give thanks to You for who You are and for all that You've done in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that You're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship. Here I am.